This is St. Louis Public Radio. A starchy tropical tuber called cassava feeds millions of people around the world, but farmers in East Africa are struggling with a virus that can render a crop inedible. As St. Louis Public Radio's Dori Buscarin reports, scientists at the Danforth Plant Science Center are working on what they believe is a potential solution, growing genetically modified cassava plants that are resistant to the virus.
Brown streak disease, which is transmitted by white flies, used to be confined to coastal areas, but it's now affecting farmers in at least 8 countries, including Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania.
Pretty hot here. This is us recreating like a tropical environment.
Inside a Crevecoeur greenhouse, kept to 90 degrees Fahrenheit and 80% humidity, botanist Nigel Taylor checks the stems of young potted cassava plants.
So you can see it there, okay? We're getting lesions on the stem, brown streaks on the stem. This plant's quite badly infected. Shortly, we're going to be cutting these out and we'll slice them up. And I guarantee you, these guys have brown streak.
The thing about brown streak disease is that it's unusual for symptoms to be visible. Cassava can grow 10 feet tall with woody stems and long fingered leaves. Healthy roots are thick and white with a brown rind. A farmer can spend 9 months to a year growing a cassava plant, but if brown streak hits, the tubers will be rotten and inedible, says Catherine Taracha, a director at the Kenya Agricultural and Livestock Research Organization.
It can have a very devastating effect on the farmers who have put in so much and invested in it. They'll not have enough food and they'll not have any income.
Taracha is visiting St. Louis for a 6-month fellowship to help develop virus-resistant cassava at the Danforth Plant Science Center. She says cassava is an important staple for many subsistence farmers. About 3 million tons are grown every year in Uganda alone, according to the country's agricultural census.
It's resistant to drought and it does very well in marginal lands. And the whole plant is useful from the leaves to the stems to the roots. The leaves are used as food and also for animal feed. The stems are used for firewood.
And then there are the roots, which you can boil and mash, dry and grind, or distill into ethanol. There is a catch. If prepared incorrectly, cassava can produce cyanide. So far, traditional breeding methods have been slow to help cassava crops develop resistance to brown streak. So scientists at Danforth have spent the past decade figuring out how to genetically modify cassava plants to be resistant to brown streak and another common virus called mosaic disease. They call it the Virka Project. Major donors are the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the U.S. Agency for International Development, and the charitable arm of Monsanto. In a lab at the Danforth Center, Virka's principal investigator, Nigel Taylor, pulls out a petri dish full of what looks like clumps of minced garlic.
So this is actually a mass of several hundred thousand individual cells. Each one of them is what's called embryogenic and has the potential to regenerate and make a new plant.
This is where scientists introduce the genes that can help a fully grown cassava plant fight off disease. Then they're regenerated into microplants, which are multiplied into the plants used in field trials.
So it's a numbers game. You have to produce a lot of plants, you do a lot of work, and you then select for the ones which are performing best.
When they're 3 inches tall, the plants get packed on a plane and sent for field tests in Uganda and Kenya. After regulatory approvals in those countries, the Virka team plans to donate healthy cassava cuttings to farmers in brown streak affected areas, perhaps by 2020. Usually, when we talk about research in St. Louis, this is where the story ends. But Ugandans are debating whether genetically modified crops should be permitted at all. The country's parliament tabled a bill to approve GM crops earlier this year after heavy opposition. According to local news reports, critics believe the bill is in the interest of multinational companies like Monsanto, not Ugandan farmers. And some people also are concerned that GM crops are unsafe to eat, although researchers argue that the plants go through rigorous testing and a regulatory process. So I'm going to Uganda to dive into this debate. I'd like to find out how technology from St. Louis is becoming part of a larger conversation about agriculture and sustainability in East Africa. Until then, I'm Dori Buscarin, St. Louis Public Radio.